Playboy. It brings you the best of everything.
On today's episode, I'll be speaking with Jason Hill. I've known Jason for about 10 years. We both started comedy around the same time here in the Phoenix area. He's a great dude. I actually DJ'd his wedding. True story. So we read the party jokes from the May of 2004 edition of Playboy magazine, 11 of them. And oh boy, well, I'll let you check it out. Here's me, Jason Hill, and the party jokes from May of 2004. All right, so today on the show, Jason Hill, we're going to go over the May of 2004 edition of Playboy magazine, another summer issue for us. So keeping with that theme, May of 2004, how old were you at the time?
Oh, 14, 13?
I was...
13.
I was 20. I had just turned 20. And, yeah, weird time, I remember. This is very much... This is MySpace time.
Oh, yeah.
This is when we were all trying to figure out social media, and we were doing a really bad job of it. I don't feel like we've really started to get the hang of it until... Well, you know, some of us. Till now, I think.
Yeah, well, now it's, like, spiraling out of control.
With some people, but I feel like a lot of people have like identified what's cringe and what's not and been a little more careful about that. And, you know, there is, a lot of people had to learn the hard way, but I do see a lot less, you know, like when people share stuff from like 2011, that's back when it was just like, you know, John Smith is wondering why people are so mean in the world. Like, like stuff like, what?
That's, yeah, I look through some of those and I see, because that was when the Facebook ones, and when they had to say,
is
Jason Hill is, yeah. And then I would be like, thinking that maybe my new apartment in Tucson is going to be a cool place this summer to have a fun time. Like, what am I doing?
Is wondering why George W. Bush is our president. I actually had to look up this a while ago because I was like, are my MySpace blogs still like out there? And I looked it up and MySpace was like, we deleted all those because, like, MySpace still exists in a weird way. You know, they're still a company. But, like, I looked it up and they put out a statement. They were like, we understand that probably nobody wants those anymore. So we just got rid of it a long time ago. And there was no people like, hey, I want mine back. Everybody was just like, good. Just fucking let those die.
I remember my first existential crisis at 15, and me working through that.
And I did a 1,000-word essay on it, on my own time.
I used to work through things. I would just to try to like understand who I was as a teenager. I would like revamp my layout. I'd have a new song and a new about me section, and I'd be like, "Oh, okay, time to explore this element of my personality that likes brand new."
Oh,
and then like
that was always the best when you were like, you know what, we gotta change things up around here. This is getting a little stale. MySpace page. All right, you know what I'm thinking? We'll use this image for the back, this song.
The color scheme, the
font, renovating your MySpace page.
And you could like announce to everybody like, hey guys, check out my new profile. I set it up. I think it's a much clearer demonstration of who I am.
The background's a moving image. All the jewels kind of like glisten a little bit. Those kind of like moving wallpapers that they had on those. All right. Well, we've gone on about MySpace enough. We could do a whole podcast about MySpace, but
classic.
That would just be for us. But May of 2004, you want to guess what the number one movie was? When I say it, you'll be like, of course.
Wait, did you say Pirates of the Caribbean?
No. Although that'll come up later. I'm just going to say it, Shrek 2.
Wow. The sequel?
The sequel.
Wow.
Sequels always do big money on their opening week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it crushed it all through May. Number one song, This Love by Maroon 5. Remember that one? This love has
taken its toll on me.
There you go.
That's the, I think that's, if you tell me any Maroon 5, I kind of think of them all as the same song.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair to think of them as that. Absolutely.
They were big on the Sierra Vista Radio. K101. It was like, I think they played that. That's still probably in heavy rotation. Maroon 5 is probably still playing there. That they love it down in small town Arizona.
Of course. I think I remember, yeah, at this time I was working at Papa John's, I believe, and that was a big song on the radio because I had such an old car and I couldn't afford a better stereo, so it was a lot of radio.
Mm-hmm.
And jumping around, I would hear that. And it made the job even shittier. But also during May of 04, a couple things. I didn't find too many headlines, but things that stood out to me. The final episode of Friends aired and got 52.5 million viewers.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Fahrenheit 9/11, remember that?
Oh, what, that came out?
It won the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, so I guess it was before it was, like, released nationwide to the public and stuff, so that was, you know, that was their little teaser in France. But I remember seeing that movie with my friends and being like, we have to talk about this right now. Like, this movie's gonna change the whole thing, man. Like, how could Bush recover from this? Like, 20-year-old bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was... So I think I was, I can't, I'm bad at age now. I was four, it was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born in 89.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make me 15.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Well, you turned 15 in 2004, but no, but yeah. But were you 14 or 15?
I was born in July. Yeah. So I was 14.
You were still 14.
And I was an avid Bush supporter. At that age, yeah.
The band, the president.
Oh, yeah, all the way.
Because you just, that's what you knew, right?
Yeah.
Is that what was taught in your home?
I knew that there was Bush and then there was the Demorats. That's what they were called. I couldn't have that. It says rat in, like, they, bad marketing on their part. And so I was, you know. But then I think that's when I started to watch, like, I think Fahrenheit, I started to watch The Daily Show. That's how I got radicalized, I guess.
Yeah, that's when the liberal agenda got its hooks in you at a young age. Yeah. Well, I hope you got over that. And, you know, took the red pill.
You
know it. No. All right. And then I always like to go over who was born and who died during the time frame that we are going over. Only notable death I could find, Tony Randall. You know Tony Randall? He was an old actor from... He was on the Odd Couple show. He was like a known as being kind of a stiff, like, you know... Not like... I guess kind of snobbish a little bit, but like the way he spoke and everything. Like, he was on Late Night with Conan O'Brien quite a bit. He was one of his favorite guests.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, funny guy. He died. And then every time I do an issue from like 2004 or later, I always like to go over who was born in those times, but it's always too... Like, not long enough for famous people to be made. But I was really surprised. I found technically 7 famous people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Gosselin Sextuplets. You might know them from John and Kate Plus 8. Apparently, one of them came in a bundle of 6. So, or like, and then I guess the other one was twins, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe just regular, normal kids.
They didn't like those two as much.
No. She's like, but these ones are like a whole thing. You guys, I don't get you. Like, like what even are you? Just one? And then the other one, a solo act, I guess, would be Charlie D'Amelio. Who, I didn't know this, I had to look her up, is a TikTok star. She's like the number one TikTok star. Whoa. And she's very rich. So, and she was born 18 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so good for her.
Is she like a dance TikTok or like a...
Yeah, and then apparently her and her sister had a show on Hulu. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. That's where we're at in 2022, but that's fine. I don't know. Yeah.
It doesn't make me feel self-conscious about what I've gotten in my life at all. No, I'm fine.
Yeah. I should say I just downloaded TikTok.
You're going to get in on this.
At my age, the only TikTok I should be getting is a pacemaker.
Oh.
I'm going to sell that to some dad comic. And then, so that brings us to the actual magazine, which, where did it go?
I think it's under. No.
Under? Oh, yeah, it is under here. All right. May 2004, Playboy magazine on the cover. This was one of 13 cover appearances by this woman. I had to look it up. The great Pamela Anderson.
Oh, wow.
Pamela Anderson. She's got some henna tattoo work going on here, and she's in like a Moroccan kind of tent kind of thing. That's the theme of this spread that she did. So, yeah, right now. Oh, by the way, I was just in New York City. She plays the lead in Chicago on Broadway.
No way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She plays Roxy Hart in Chicago. Yeah. And then every issue of Playboy has their big interview. And then, if I can find it here, this guy who's been in the news a lot lately, Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, I always like to read, one of the three main quotes that they have in front. They always put three main quotes in the, interview, like up front as like a teaser of what's inside. So, I'm going to read the quote that, really stood out to me. Here we go. I'll do my best Johnny Depp impression. I was never a cokehead or anything like that. I always despised that drug, but I was poisoning myself with alcohol and medicating myself. There was a danger that I would go over the edge, and I thank God that I didn't. He did.
He did. He sure did.
I mean, that's all a matter of public record now. Yeah. He really, really did. Yeah, so that's funny to me. All right. And then Miss May of 2004, we'll go over her her data sheet here, is a woman named Nicole Whitehead. And at this point in her life, she was 24, it looks like. And she's from Birmingham, Alabama. And some of the funny stuff in here are her turn-ons are cowboy hats, monster trucks, horseback riding on the beach, and being proud of who you are and where you came from. And then what else?
Just on the beach?
That seems... I don't fuck with horses anywhere else but the beach, okay? And then you want to guess what her favorite movie is?
Tombstone.
That would make sense, and I would, that would give me more respect for her than I already have, but, and I'm, look, I'm gonna say it, I don't hate this movie, but, it's just funny to me that this is her favorite movie. The Crow.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay.
The Crow.
Wow. She's got some brooding...
She's a horseback riding Alabama girl, and she likes Brandon Lee in The Crow. all right, so we have 11 party jokes, so, yeah, we're gonna get to the heart of the matter here. And right off the bat, the first party joke has like a headline to it. The headline being, it's something we see quite a bit in these, but not in every issue. It says, this month's most frequent submission. And so very rarely, and I say this quite a bit on here, very rarely is this month's most frequent submission, in quotes I just did, something in the news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think that if everybody was sending in the same joke, it would be something in pop culture or in the news. That has only been the case once. It was about Saddam Hussein being like after we found him, I guess it was like, you know, him being brought to justice. So we will see if this next one here, if or this first one, is actually based in what was going on in May of 2004. Okay.
Gosling jokes.
I hope so. What do you call six kids that were conceived wildly artificially? No. All right, here we go. Ooh, this month's most frequent submission. Why did Jennifer Lopez dump Ben Affleck?
Okay.
Because he finally admitted, yes, your ass does look big in those pants.
Hey!
I know. So, it was related to what was, you know, going on at the time.
Her butt was all over the news.
Yeah, yeah. People were very... but this points out something that is very telling to me, in that I feel like at this point, Playboy was very much behind the times in a lot of ways. It was definitely... I don't think that they really kind of... assimilated well to the 2000s. There was still a lot of kind of told through the lens of an old man kind mm-hmm. of thing, you know? And this joke really epitomizes that, because this was before a big ass was in vogue
mm-hmm.
among women. Mm-hmm. Of course, you see that a lot more now, but I feel like if they saw what was going on today, they'd be all like, what? Like, yeah. No. Like, it was all about tits to Playboy, and it was like, you know, I don't get the Jennifer Lopez thing. I mean, she's got a nice face, but that ass is too, you know. Am I wrong here? Do you agree? It's just like...
It seems pretty like... Why are you clinging to the past of small,
I feel like butts? Like the readers of this magazine, the people that would be reading it would be like, yeah, she's got a nice ass. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but like...
It's like everybody knew big butts were nice before it became
acceptable. We just didn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it would be like... That's what kind of... It's that shitty dude thing that you saw more in the past, but it was like, was it like, if you screw around with the girl with a big ass, then you're not too far away from having sex with fat girls, and that would be awful if the town found out about that. Like, all right, so that was the first one, and then so we got 10 more to go. How are you feeling so far?
I'm great.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, next joke. Here we go. A car hit a 10-year-old boy and drove off.
Oh.
The boy was lying injured in the middle of the road. A passerby ran up and asked the boy, "Do you want me to find a priest?" The boy replied, "How could you think about sex at a time like this?"
Jeez.
Wow. That, like, I haven't read a joke like that in Playboy before. That's like, yeah. Huh. Yeah, I kind of like it, but also, like, you know, I admire the fact that, okay, right away, our grabber sentence, a car hit a 10-year-old boy and drove off.
You know you're going to feel good at the end of that story.
It's just, it totally lays it out like, this is what kind of joke we're doing, and you could keep reading, or
it couldn't even
move
do
on to the next joke.
It couldn't do like the driver got out and said that. It had to be a hit and run, and yeah. Then another person comes up, and then they don't offer medical attention. They're like, oh, how about a priest?
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're about to die straight up. Do you want your last rites?
And
yeah,
then,
and then the boy's like...
And then the boy is a little jokester himself with his... I mean, maybe it was... I guess maybe he was...
I hope he's a jokester.
True.
I hope this is just him joking. Because the other... if not, the other scenario would be that... That's all he associates priests with.
Yeah.
And that's awful. He got hit by a car. The guy ran off. he's in really bad shape, and I've been molested quite a bit. Like, I've been on this earth 10 years and I've experienced 12 years of hell compacted into 10 years.
I just like to think he was like a 10-year-old open micer who saw the chance for a priest molestation joke and was like, I can't pass this up.
Yeah, he was like, I'm dying here. I've got to throw a Hail Mary and do shock humor. It's like, I think I can get away with it. I'm going to go ahead and do it. And then the guy who asked him was like, hey, you can't say that. And then he was like, you can't say anything anymore. And that's what the joke would be if it kept going on in 2022. He's like, I'm a 10-year-old dying boy. I think I've earned the right to say some things.
I've had it hard too.
Yeah. A 10-year-old dying white boy. Ooh, I just read the first three, two words and one initial in the third joke, and I want to dive right into it because this will be very much of the time. So here we go. Joke number three. George W. Bush recently wrote this letter to John Hinckley. Dear... I'll try to do it in a Bush voice. Dear Mr. Hinckley, Laura and I hope that you are continuing to recover from your mental problems. We were pleased to hear that you are now able to have unsupervised visits with your parents. I have decided to seek a second term in office as your president. Since I am a public servant, please let me know if there is anything that you need at the hospital. By the way, are you aware that John Kerry is screwing Jodie Foster? Sincerely, George W. Bush, President.
I don't remember who John Hinckley is.
Okay, let me take you back in the Wayback Machine.
Okay,
and explain. John Hinckley was an attempted assassin of Ronald Reagan. He actually shot Ronald Reagan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Ronald Reagan survived.
I never got his name.
Yeah, John Hinckley, and when they found out why he did that, they realized he was seriously mentally ill, and he did it because he wanted to impress Jodie Foster, who as we know now is a lesbian. Mm. So he really yeah. Can you imagine when he found that out in prison? Like, God damn it. What was it all for?
She led me on.
Yeah. You bitch. Like, she's totally. Oh, God. Yeah. That just makes him even more awful. But yeah, so the joke being that George W. Bush is hoping that John Hinckley goes and shoots John Kerry, a decorated war veteran.
Wow. A violent couple of jokes.
Yeah. A 10-year-old boy getting hit by a car and George Bush, a president, ordering a hit on his opponent. Which sounds like, ooh, we're like in 2004, but like now it's like, yeah, that's something Trump would do.
I was thinking, yeah.
Can we just kill him? Why can't we just do that? Yeah, I love reading all these stories now about him. Like, and then he asked me to do something wildly illegal.
I mean, he tried to get Biden and COVID, so.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, I guess it's like, maybe he never explicitly said that, but he's like, I have COVID. I'll see Biden. It'll work out.
I'll cough right in his face. I'm gonna try to kiss him. That'll win me over with the LGBT people. And I will give Joe Biden COVID. And he'll die because he's weak and I'm strong. I have the strongest body. Yeah, okay. He's back. I like finding out what he writes on his own app.
Oh, and
hearing about it. Like, you know. Having now knowing, like, been explained who John Hinckley is and his whole deal, mm-hmm. Is the joke funnier to you?
I mean, it's funnier, as in, like, I understand where the humor's coming from.
There's no more confusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm less confused, but still, I don't like assassinations.
Yeah, and it hits different, you know, in the time of Trump. Yeah, so, yeah. So that is our first political joke of the issue. Sometimes we don't get one, but we did this time because George W. Bush was fun to make fun of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Joke number four. Nice short one. Here we go. What do you get when you take ecstasy and birth control? A trip without the kids.
Oh.
I feel like this probably was from like a 1960s issue, but they said LSD, you know, because that's what they always called acid back then. And yeah. LSD. Like, you wouldn't hear somebody call it that now. Like, can I get some LSD? Like, yeah. Yeah, it just seemed like some square who never really took drugs would say this with any drug, you know? Because you don't trip on ecstasy.
I was kind of wondering. Yeah. I'm not, like, a big ecstasy person, but I didn't think you called it that.
You trip on psychedelics. You don't trip on ecstasy. You roll on ecstasy.
Okay. Yes. I think I have heard that.
Yeah.
That's, I think that would get some giggles at like a brunch or something, like kind of a little bad, but like
a brunch or, a dentist convention.
Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In Ann Arbor, Michigan. yeah, that kind of thing. A golf course, among businessmen, you know. Just trying to break the ice and build some rapport before they engage in a capitalist, cannibalist gangbang. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I like that it's short. But again, you don't trip on ecstasy. You roll on it. Mm-hmm. So that takes me out of the joke. As a former drug user, I mean, I still smoke a ton of weed. But as, you know, as a guy who used to do the other stuff once in a while, this offends me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me angry. And you shouldn't joke about drugs unless you did them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yep. So that's where I stand on the issue. okay. Let's move on to joke number four. It is, it's got some paragraphs to it. And I feel like it takes us away from the tone of ecstasy very much, because it already sets the location in the first sentence that I just read, and so that this is far away from you know, the seedy places where you might find ecstasy.
Okay.
So here we go. A man owned a farm in Kansas.
Oh, okay.
The Department of Labor received a tip that he was not paying proper wages to his employees. An agent came to interview him and said, "List your employees and tell me how much you pay them." The farmer said, "I have one ranch hand who's been with me for 3 years. I pay him $600 a week plus room and board. Then I have a cook. She's been here 6 months. She gets $400 a week plus room and board." "Anybody else?" the agent asked as he scribbled on a notepad. "Yeah," the farmer said. "There's a halfwit here. Works about 18 hours a day. I pay him $10 a week and just give him chewing tobacco." "Very interesting," the agent said. "I want to talk to that halfwit." The farmer replied, "You're talking to him right now."
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Kind of so, self-deprecating a little bit?
Yeah, in that he's paying out big money to people and not keeping any for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think that paying this amount of money out to these people was his idea, or do you think these people were taking advantage of him and they planted the idea in his head? But, you know, either way, they're taking advantage of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But I like, because he's the owner. He's the landowner.
Yeah.
So, like, absolutely... get it back, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
the workers have to unite somehow. So why not find the most feeble farmer?
See, this shows how much you've changed in that at this time when this joke came out, May of 2004, you were hating on the Demorats, and now you're like, workers unite.
At first, I thought it was going to be like, oh, there's a half-wit here that I pay from my taxes or something, and it was supposed to be like the regulator, but that's probably more for like a National Review.
I must be a half-wit because I pay taxes.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
To those clowns in Congress. Yeah, he's a half. Well, okay. First of all, half wit, not a term you heard a lot in May 2004, which goes to show again how dated certain tones of this magazine were and how behind the times they were. He is a half wit with self awareness.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's dumb. And you don't see that a lot in people who are having trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, what can I say? I'm an idiot. Like, yeah. Yeah. You'll
It's kind of... I really like this farmer. I hope they're not taking advantage of him now that I think about it, because I admire his overall just... Hey, you know, I am what I am.
Yeah.
I like my tobacco... And
$10.
$10, you know, that's all you need.
I'd like to think that these two people that are getting paid good money, or, well, I mean, $600 a week and $400 a week, which isn't too bad.
In 2004,
yeah, plus room and board. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I hope they're contributing to the household. I hope they're buying common items like paper towels and dish soap, things like that. I hope they make dinner once in a while for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they give him rides to the airport. I hope they buy him presents on Christmas.
I bet they do.
Good. So now it kind of... Well, we are able to tack on a happy ending to that one.
That's definitely the most feel-good joke so far.
It is now, after we cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm.
Do better. We just did better. All right. Our next one. Ooh, this is so short that I just read it really quick, silently in my head while I was talking. So, and it is of the time. So here we go. Next joke. Why did Scott Peterson want to move to West Virginia? Because everybody has the same DNA.
Hey.
Yeah.
Come on.
Scott Peterson, wife killer, you know, we all know. You know what's funny about Scott Peterson and Lacey Peterson is that I am a true crime guy. I love hearing all that shit. I don't know shit about Scott Peterson and that whole thing because it seems too basic to me. It's too mainstream of a murder and I don't want to get into it.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You like the indie murders.
I like indie murders. I like B-side murders. Mainstream as I go would probably be Richard Ramirez. So, okay. Yeah. You know, The Night Stalker, California.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zodiac, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one.
I don't fuck with BTK. He went too far with me. I'm sorry. I draw the line somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Killing families. Please. Let's have some decorum. But yeah, Scott Peterson never really got into that. Do you know anything about that case? I just know he killed his wife.
And she is pregnant?
Yes. Yeah. I seem to remember that. Yeah.
And there was like something about a boat?
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
Drowned her? Or dumped her body in a lake?
That sounds right. Yeah, I think she was found, and I think it was like one of those where they were like interviewing him and he didn't seem sad enough, so they're like, definitely the murderer.
I always love that on true crime shows where they were like, they show a clip from the news where the guy that did it's like, if anybody has any information, please let me know. It's just so obvious that he's like, Oh, there's a video out there. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I don't even wouldn't know how to find it, probably. Well, it's on YouTube somewhere where it's a guy was talking to the news about recent break-ins in the neighborhood, and it's like this younger guy, and he's like, yeah, dude, it's crazy. There's so many break-ins. And they're all like, well, it turns out that they found something at one of the crime scenes that they feel could identify them to the burglar. What did they find? A hat or something like that. He's like, he starts breathing heavy. I love that clip. And he's like, oh, okay. Wow. I gotta go. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's just like, that guy wanted to be on the news. Like, he made up, like, you know, I have something to say. Like, yeah. Like, walked over to the cameras. But yeah, the other half of the joke that we haven't talked about is just the you know, West Virginia, an entire state of inbred people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, West Virginia is a state that's got a lot of problems. But they sure are fun to make fun of, I guess, if you're into that kind of thing. You ever seen The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia?
I did quite a while ago. That was that was like 2010.
Like 10, I guess. Yeah. That was, that's a heavy documentary. I do enjoy it, though. Do you have any experience with West Virginia at all?
No. I knew somebody once. What's the story? Okay, it's coming back to me. It was an ex-girlfriend's dad's wife, and her mom. They were from West Virginia.
Okay.
And the only story I remember about them was one time they were at like a Walmart, and they were just like walking around the store. And this is the most West Virginia thing I think I've heard of in this realm. Not
a
that
man
I'm
made
sure
of
there's
coal walk
there's
by.
Plenty, there's plenty of smart, wonderful,
absolutely.
Great people.
Absolutely, every
in West
state
Virginia.
Has those people.
Oh yes. Yeah, but this person was in a Walmart and she pulled a cheeseburger out of her pocket and started eating it. She didn't know when she got the cheeseburger. It was like something that she had just been storing. No wrapper or packaging, just a loose cheeseburger in the pocket.
Not hot. Didn't come out steaming or anything.
Just picked it right out.
Probably cold.
Started snacking on it.
God, it reminds me of like when Jim Gaffigan first started to go mainstream, like in the 90s. I remember he had a joke that my dad always repeats where he said he saw a guy at the store drinking a cup of KFC gravy. I was not aware it was a beverage now. My dad always like loves to say that. Remember that joke about the KFC gravy? But yeah, again, Scott Peterson, not into it. I should read up on it a little bit because it seems like, you know, I'd like to have talks with casual true crime fans once in a while. We can use that as a way to find common ground,
because
they probably don't know about the cool ones that I know about. I know about all the cool murders. Who's your favorite serial killer, or just killer in general?
Oh,
Scott Peterson was not a serial killer, so.
No, I feel like I'm going
to
say
to your
a
head,
lame
who's
one.
Your favorite murderer?
I think John Wayne Gacy's kind of an interesting one. With
yeah,
the
there's
clown.
A new documentary about him now on Netflix. There's also a good one on Peacock about him that came out both at the same time, kind of. But yeah, he's kind of mainstream too, but he is interesting because, nobody knew for the longest time, and everybody was like, but he works for the local Democratic Party, and he's so active in the community. Like, no, serial killers are weirdos. And it's, clown. Killer clown. First of all, clown. Okay? Mm-hmm. One word for you, clown. So anybody who wants to be a clown after the year 1950, any American person, because I feel like there's some places where clowns are probably still considered funny. like France.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, if you went to France right now and did a set at a comedy club, you would probably be opening for a clown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That I would like that, I think. That I feel like I'd be a good opener for clowns.
You open for Cirque du Soleil. Like, people expecting some, like, magic illusions and everything, and you're like, hey, guys, Tinder is crazy.
I'm double-jointed in my shoulder. You guys want to see?
That's kind of a trick that you guys might like.
I'll hold the mic, like, twisted my arm around my head or something.
Playing, like, new wave music. new age music. Not new wave. Yeah. Playing Simple Minds and Husker Du. new wave music. This is a good spot to take a break and collect ad revenue.
Oh, okay.
And the number one comedy of all time. Shrek 2 is better than the first. More magical. It's funnier and twice as tender and wise as the original.
Whatever happens, I must not cry.
Do you have a favorite joke from the first half at all? Do you remember one? Like, does one stick out in your mind as, like, being the good one? No.
Not really. If I were to choose, like, if you were like, you have to go tell this joke to try to get some laughs, I would. I think I'd actually go with the ecstasy one, even though I know you, as I probably wouldn't tell it. Like, I think in a certain context.
Say shrooms instead of ecstasy, and yeah. You got yourself a joke.
I think so, yeah.
All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 jokes left. And this this first one's it's got a lot of meat on it, a lot of paragraph.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. A man who reeked of booze flopped on a subway seat next to a priest. The man's tie was stained with liquor. His face was plastered with red lipstick, and a bottle of gin was sticking out of his coat pocket. He opened his newspaper and began reading. After a few minutes, he turned to the priest and asked, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" The priest replied, "It's caused by loose living, sleeping with wicked women, and drinking too much alcohol." "Well, I'll be," the drunk muttered, returning to his paper. A few minutes later, the priest nudged the man to apologize. "I'm very sorry," the priest said. "I didn't mean to come down on you so strongly. How long have you suffered from arthritis?" "I don't have it, Father," the man said. "I was just reading about the Pope."
Oh. Who was the Pope in that one? Was that JP or the other one, Benedict?
Benedict. The one who was Pope for a hot second.
Yeah.
And then was like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
People call me a Nazi too much. Yes. Explain it to me. How would that give you arthritis? Maybe I'm just dense, but, like, do you understand?
I don't get, no, not really. And I don't remember any popes having reputations. I guess maybe that's just, like, just for the subversion of expectations or something like that. I don't know. Oh, the Pope wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but like, I don't think Pope Benedict really, his whole thing wasn't that he was like screwing around and as this priest says, loose living, sleeping with wicked women, and mm-hmm. drinking too much alcohol. Mm-hmm. He wasn't known for that. He was just known for being, he looked a little evil. And yeah. He was in the Hitler Youth, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it didn't sit well with a lot of people.
And he did those really, the super ornate, I mean, the Catholics are always like that, but he did those.
Yeah, he was very much into his lavish kind of, yeah. And Pope Kissing Francis now, like, lives in a, like, sleeps in a tiny room. Like, yeah. Or that's what he says anyway.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
He's probably on a fucking, like, super yacht. A dead girl on the floor. Get her out of here. Make it go away.
Sure thing, Mr. Pope.
But yeah, this joke just doesn't... there's something I'm missing, I'm sure. So if somebody wants to DM the Instagram page and explain this joke to me, I always like that. But yeah, I don't know. Pope Benedict was not known as that kind of guy. If no. That is the logic of this joke.
The most popes, I think the those popes were like the Renaissance popes, were the real flashy back in the...
Maybe.
Back when the popes had more power.
Yeah.
I think that was when they... That's
they could get more, away with more because it was... Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody could get away with more back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe it's talking about some older pope. Some party animal pope. Pope Randy.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a movie. National Lampoon's Pope Randy. All right. Next joke, because I want to get away from the... all that. So, yeah, another joke about a priest, though, we should say, but nothing about what priests are normally lumped in with, you know,
mm-hmm.
that subject matter. No boy getting hit by a car and then talking about his trauma. All right, so here's the next one. A new car stereo comes equipped with voice-activated software. If you yell out, rock, it tunes to a classic rock station. If you say, classical, it switches to a classical music station. If you say, country, it changes to a country music station. But one unhappy consumer complained that while he was driving, some children ran out in front of his car. Hitting the brakes, he muttered, fucking kids! And the radio started playing Michael Jackson songs.
Oh.
There are two jokes in here that are like harder and more like, yeah, I guess the only word is ooh, whoa, than the usual Playboy party jokes in here. The one where, you know, of course the kid, how could you think about sex at a time like this? Like, you know. The priest, the kid who's wary of priests. And then, straight up a Michael Jackson joke with the two words, fucking kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That fucking kids, it's real, that hits, that's a harsh
it's a punch
term
in the
to
mouth.
Hear. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
I've heard a million Michael Jackson jokes, and I never heard one that says, fucking kids. Like, that's just like... A Let's little... cut the shit and yeah. do a real joke about it, okay? He fucked kids. Yeah.
And there's a weird overlap with the child molestation and kind of like vehicle injury where it kind of... If I was at a party and somebody was telling me these jokes or if I heard them in some... I would think, okay, this person is really working through something that happened to them that involved... a car accident and an adult that they couldn't feel safe with or something,
yeah,
right?
An adult in a position of power who, mm-hmm. yeah, did bad things to them. Yeah. This joke would have been better, but they wouldn't do it in this format because I'd never seen a joke in this format before. But if it was told from the first person,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it would make it seem a little more like, excuse me, I'm so gassy today. You could see a guy going up on stage and being like, so I got this new car with a stereo. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's got voice activation. I say rock, it plays the rock station. It says this. But the other day, these kids jumped in front of me and I said, fucking kids. And Michael Jackson started playing. It makes more, it flows better if it were to be said on stage by someone speaking in the first person. But in this, like, you know, basically like, have you heard of this new car stereo? Like, you know, but apparently one unlucky consumer, like it really
mm-hmm.
like it takes away, it takes a lot of wind out of the sails.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. But again, it is the first Michael Jackson joke I've heard that says just the word fucking kids. So
that's I think that's really where they lose it. And I mean, I guess to make it work, you gotta, that's something that you would say while driving. But yeah, I feel like maybe they should have reconsidered it if they're going to say, I don't know.
Yeah. It's just amazing what gets through to, you know, what actually gets on the page. And, you know.
Because these jokes, you're supposed to say them at a party? Is that the actual idea? Are these like, are these so you have something in your sleeve for like.
I mean, the whole concept of Playboy's party joke started in like the 50s where it was like, you know. Basically, those Playboy After Dark parties, like, you know, hey, all right, martini, and the women don't talk. And, you know. yeah, but, like, you wouldn't be telling jokes at a party, you know, like.
You guys hear, I got a molestation joke for you. Come on. Like, that kind of thing. Just see.
Three people get up and leave. What's wrong? yeah, it's just. I don't know, but I want to get to this next one because it has a headline here that is, it's just so another kind of dated in that this subject matter was such a punching bag that they had to go back to the well for over and over again on Playboy's party jokes. And I just, it's like this kind of joke really fell out of fashion, I feel like, after like the early 90s. So here we go. This is our blonde joke of the month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Why should a boss give his blonde secretary only a half-hour lunch break? Because if she were gone for an hour, she'd have to be retrained.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you can't let her wander away too much or else she'll forget everything you taught her, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like she has some kind of memory. That's actually accurate because intelligence is generally a measurement of memory in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, so, but again, just the classic kind of like women with blonde hair are dumb because they don't have to be smart. They're like, so the idea, which is very much a Playboy idea, that the most beautiful women in the world are white blonde women. That has always been since issue number one, and all the women that really kind of came out of this magazine that had any shred of fame are all women that were blonde. That's the image that they tried to put out there, and then it's just funny to me that it's like in almost every other Playboy party joke thing, it's just like, these fucking idiots, like blonde women. Can you believe them? They fucking, they'll forget shit after a half hour. Like,
except then these have no consistency because I'm sure there's been a few jokes in there about women. They bring it up. They never forget stuff from the past.
Yeah, don't
you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Get some consistency in your.
Once massage. A blonde is a wife. Which is another thing in play. Like, once you're a wife, it doesn't matter what your hair color is, because then you are only known as a wife. And then at that point, then the blonde, who previously couldn't remember anything, now that she's a wife, she remembers everything.
There you go.
Because that would be, you know, inconvenient to the man. And yeah, because now she is a wife, and I'm sure she gained about 50 pounds. Yeah, her hair's in rollers. She's got a rolling pin in her hand. I was like, what happened to the dumb blonde I married? Ugh, I should have never got married. What's funny is, as I've been saying, all these jokes have a very outdated, stale flavor, but this next joke might put that all to shame because this next joke has the headline, Playboy Classic.
Ooh, okay.
Meaning that it was in an old issue, and they brought it back.
People wanted, hey, remember that one?
Yeah. So here we go. Let's see what was so damn funny they had to bring it back. Playboy Classic. Where does an Irishman go on vacation? A different bar.
That was it?
That's it.
Wow.
And it is... It is classic to be racist to the Irish.
That's true.
This
is from our 1855 edition.
This is the Ellis Island edition of Playboy, 1902. I love any reference to the old Irish racism, because it makes me think of Irish guys today in like Boston, like, hey, we got it just as bad. Yeah. All right, yeah, we were slaves. Like, yeah, that's always funny to me. That Irish racism that they think they're entitled to after 100 years. I remember my grandfather, who was born in 1920, used to hate Irish people because they were cops in his neighborhood, and they always gave him a hard time because he was Italian. So there was a lot of tension there. My great grandmother hated her son-in-law, who was my uncle by marriage, because he was Irish, and she used to call him a son of a bitch Irishman to his face, and he would laugh at her and it would just anger her more. Like, it's like, shut up. So because he had that Irish kind of thing, just like, you know. So it's just funny to me when I hear people talk about that, like,
when
those damned Irishmen.
I was in college, and I remember this guy who I think he was coming into that, like, I'm Irish, so I have
that
history of oppression.
Pride. Yeah.
And I remember somebody said, limey, is that the phrase? I think that's the slur.
No? Limey is British.
Limey, okay.
Yeah, Mick would be Irish.
And
yeah.
He did this.
The fucking
fisticuffs. And it's like, you're not helping you. He did, like, for you listening, it's like the fists.
The
like
fighting
the Notre
Irish,
Dame
Notre Dame,
stance.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, ye. Put your hands up. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how much he was into it, that he thought that was how you're supposed to fight. Like,
traditional.
If he was in Ireland and he got into a fight and he put his hands up like that, the whole bar would be like, what the fuck? I've heard that Irish people hate Irish Americans because of their pride.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're just like, fuck you. You're not Irish. Like, just give it up. do you remember when I used to do a joke when we first started doing comedy about Irish car bombs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I stopped doing that joke a long time ago. But I remember I said something about, I think I said this on the podcast before, we were at the Turf.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I said the joke, and there was a part in the joke where I said, this is back when I drank. It was like, I like real Irish pubs, like the kind where somebody carves IRA onto the bathroom wall. And then I found out later somebody carved IRA into the bathroom wall at the Turf,
mm-hmm,
just to fucking make me look like I did it. Somebody, yeah. And so the owner came out to the guy that was running the show and was just like, that guy over there, he fucking did what he said in the joke. And it was Eric Baez. He was like, why would he do that? Like, he's like, obviously it's somebody else doing that. He's like, the guy who said the thing is just did that same thing. Like, you think it's that? Like, yeah. Somebody did. It's like, yeah, it wasn't him. Like, he stood up for me, which was cool. But yeah, like, that somebody would be all like, I'm going to ruin his his standing at the Turf. Oh, God. Whoever did that. Nice try, but I'm still here, man. No. 10 years later.
I just liked your joke, so I did it. I'm sorry.
This will get his name out there.
Yeah, I was trying to help. I thought it would give it some nice legitimacy, but
carving IRA into the wall. What the fuck are you doing? I'm on Michael Palladino's street team. Is he Irish? Or even Northern Irish at that? No. all right, so that is a Playboy classic, and you can tell because it bagged on the Irish. So we have one more joke left, and it is a quick one. And here we go, our final joke. Why are nurses so bad at giving oral sex? because they always wait for the swelling to go down.
Oh.
Every time a nurse is in a Playboy joke, she is supposed to have sex or at least suck some guy's dick. That's all nurses do, apparently, in the Playboy joke world is heal you by fucking you. And then if it's a male doctor, it's always, I'll have to do tests on your wife after you leave the room. And then, like, yeah, it's always... So what I'm trying to say is Playboy has no respect for the medical profession.
I was thinking, they need to see some better doctors. I think they've been misled.
I'm sure Hugh Hefner had a lot of respect for abortion doctors.
Oh, there he is. First, I don't even think... I think you would try to make the swelling go down in most situations. You don't wait for it. You treat it.
Ice packs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ice or some, you know, in some cases maybe paracentesis if you got some fluid in there.
Draining? Is that what that is?
It's when you poke a little needle into, like, if you have a lot of swelling in your abdomen, poke a needle in there, let it drain out. So that's all that I'm thinking about, and I'm not in the mood for oral sex at that point.
Why are nurses so bad at giving oral sex? Because they always insist on sticking a syringe in your penis and draining it.
There it goes. That would be
better. Which is a really big mood killer for me. That's the whole joke. but yeah, just another joke where nurses are, supposed to heal you by sucking your dick. The Playboy version of medical professionals. Nurses suck your dick. Male doctors fuck your wife. But male doctors also, and nurses too, can fuck you by showing you the insurance bill. That's always another way that they can go about it in Playboy. Yeah. So they could, and I'm sure there's like a dozen jokes I probably read a couple of them on here where it's, you know, getting fucked two ways, or like, you know, like,
no, you're in medical bankruptcy.
And I fucked your wife. That is the 11, the winning 11 jokes that we have here. Now that we read the second half, though, do you have a favorite in general
from the,
or was it, is it still the what was the one that you liked? Oh, the trip without the kids.
The trip without the kids. Oh, I definitely...
Keep in mind that the 10-year-old boy that got hit by a car joke is there.
That's up there, yeah. I was thinking, I was like, I think if I have to have two separate rankings for just total jokes and then like which was the best molestation joke, which was the best priest joke, which actually only one of those overlapped to their credit. So I would say I think I'm going to go with Trippin' still.
Yeah.
Roll trip.
Roll trip. I'm looking to roll trip. You're talking to a drug dealer. I don't know. I'm going to pick the 10-year-old boy one, even though, you know, it's not the kind of joke that I'm usually into. But I don't know. It just got me. It stands out.
I think it's because the 10-year-old boy is the one who makes the joke. It's like one of those not about us, but it's, hey, I'm making... It's like a kind of... He's taking his power back in a way. By saying, like...
Yeah, like if the kid goes, I need a priest, and then the guy goes, how could you think about sex at a time like this? Then it's like, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, that boy's like, I've fucked enough priests. them all.
Hey, buddy, I fucked enough priests. Okay?
It's the same way every time.
Oh, good, priest sex. That's what I need right now. Ugh. What I always like to do at the end is, of course, on the other side of Playboy's Party Jokes, there's always a single panel cartoon that's always, a little cheeky and a little horny. So I want you to paint a picture and describe it as best you can to people that are listening to this.
Okay. This has been catching my eye this whole time, so yeah. I'm glad. All right. So the scene is there's a really lovely looking garden surrounding a pool. Looks like maybe they're growing some lavender. That's nice. And then a nice kind of Spanish tile around the pool. and then focal point, though, is a man. His hair looks kind of, I would imagine, like a Ruffles potato chip on a head. What? Yeah. Doesn't that kind of have like that?
Yes, yes.
And exactly. And he looks,
it's like what Trump thinks his hair looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's, there's highlights and everything. It's great. He's got, and he's fit. He looks great. He's got a strong chin. And he is just holding this lady, railing her, I guess, maybe. It's my impression.
It looks like the wheelbarrow position, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah. And she, and, but she's, it's quite, they're both impressive. I think maybe that's why I thought of the Cirque du Soleil thing earlier. Oh, that was one of the good, the better jokes.
Yeah.
But they're, because it's very, like, she's straight out, arms up. I guess she's kind of in, like, she's getting ready to swim. I haven't read the caption yet, so I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. Naked. They're both naked, totally. She's got a nice head of orange curly hair. And the caption is, oh, she's dangling over the pool. He's like, toes are dangling over. They're ready to go in. Great form, Miss Blaisdell. Next week, we'll try it in the water. Oh, okay.
What was her name again?
Oh, it's Blaisdell. I said Blaisdell. I don't know where that came from. Blaisdell. Ms. Blaisdell. Wow.
They always come up with interesting names. Mm-hmm. They can never go with Jones or Johnson or Smith.
It seems like it has to have like an old money kind of Blaisdell. Ooh, that seems like, oh, this is not her. This is like the pool boy. And
yeah, yeah.
She's got the rich. That's the scenario I'm imagining.
Mr. Blaisdell comes by and goes, mm-hmm. How are my wife's swimming lessons coming along? Very good, sir. Good, good. That's a nice boy, don't you think? What would her first name be? Eleanor?
Mm-hmm. Miss Blaisdell.
It's a fine young man, isn't he, Eleanor? Yes, yes, he is. Social media, upcoming shows.
Follow me at J_Sunhill. I'm trying to do Instagram now. I don't know. So that's where, that's probably the most, the one I'm using most. And follow me there. I have a show on June 23rd. Is this coming out before?
Yes.
June 23rd at Cruisin' for a Do Better comedy show. Who else was Anthony Desimito is there. Oh no, now I can't forget Darrell Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, all just a couple different, I can't remember everybody off the top of my head, but that should be a fun time. Yeah, check that out.
Check that out June if you're 23rd. In the Phoenix area or planning on coming. You did a great job describing that image, and
oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm really proud of you. Oh, what do you got there? One of those things that fell out of the magazine?
What's that? Is this yours?
500. No, it just cut, like, they're all loose in the magazine. Yeah, that's mine. A fucking 18-year-old coupon for 500 free hours on the Playboy website.
Wow. $25 on the PlayboyStore.com.
Oh, wow. What okay.
It doesn't say there's an expiration date, so.
So I'm about to raise hell. On the phone with Playboy. Sir, that website doesn't even exist anymore. This is bait and switch. That's all it is.
I need my bunny ears now.
All right. Well, I'm going to go check out the store and see if I can make that coupon happen. Great show, man.
Yeah, thanks
for coming.
Thank you. It was fun.